So I wonder, have you ever had a time where you found it difficult to wait for something? So maybe it's something exciting and brings a little bit of happiness, like an Amazon delivery. Or maybe it's a wedding, which has either your own or someone close to you. In fact, it may have been one that may have been postponed a few times. Or maybe it's the joy of a newborn baby. Or going on holiday to your favorite holiday destination, which you maybe haven't been able to do in the last couple of years. Or maybe it could be something like reaching retirement and looking forward to spending a bit more time focusing on hobbies. Or it could be something else. But it could also be waiting for something that brings with it difficulty or hurt or pain. Like anxiously waiting for the results of a test or for a difficult and scary medical diagnosis or even the difficulty in waiting for the end of the pandemic and the worries that surrounding health that have been brought around by COVID. We live in a society and a culture that expects things to happen instantly because we are used to getting things instantly. When we go on our phones, we can look up the news anywhere in the world at the click of a button. And in fact, we can usually at least get 4G internet wherever we are, which allows us to browse and to stay connected wherever we are at the touch of a button. We also live in a society which has instant coffee and fast food delivery. And in fact, usually there's next day delivery on any items we order online, like clothes or gadgets or food shopping. Our culture is all about how quickly something can be delivered to us or how quickly something can be done. And so we maybe find it difficult and maybe a little bit frustrating in those times when we're required to wait. So this morning, I wanted to spend a little bit of time thinking about waiting in God's provision and what it means to wait on God. So theologian Wayne Stiles, in his book called Waiting on God, describes it as, waiting is a very active part of living. Waiting on God, if we do it correctly, is anything but passive. Waiting works its way out in deliberate actions, very intentionally searching the scriptures and praying, intense moments of humility and self-realization of our finiteness. With the waiting comes learning. I can't think of much I've learned that's positive from the times I've ploughed on ahead without waiting on God. So waiting is not passive. It's intentionally seeking God's will through prayer and Bible reading. It's trusting that God loves us and knows what is happening in our lives, and that God will give us the strength and the grace to face each new day. It's trusting totally in God and acknowledging that we need him and that actually we can't live without him. And so whilst we wait, we're called to live faithfully for God and in every day hold on to the hope that is found in him. So as we think of what it means to wait, we first of all have to acknowledge that at times it can be really difficult to wait. Verses 13 and 14 say, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. When you add up all the days in our passage this morning, it tells us that Noah and his family and all the animals were in the ark for just over a year. So that's a long time to be in a restricted space with lots and lots of animals. This wasn't a luxury cruise around the Bahamas. The ark was not equipped with anything to keep them entertained. And they couldn't get off the ark and explore different places. There was nothing to do but stay in the ark whilst it floated aimlessly. They didn't know how long they were going to be on it for. And at times, I can imagine it was difficult and frustrating for them waiting on the ark. Just like at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, we didn't know how long it would last for. And in fact, we entered into the initial lockdown with hopefulness that it would only be for a short time. And then afterwards, things would quickly go back to the way they were. But as time goes on, life can still feel restricted, and it can feel like we don't have the freedom that we once had. And so I'm sure for Noah and the family in the ark, it maybe at times felt like a struggle. In fact, they maybe even felt like they'd been abandoned and that God wasn't listening to them. And so I wonder this morning, have you ever felt at times like that? Like God isn't listening? Have you ever wondered if God has forgotten you? Especially during the pandemic or during a difficult time in your life? Because if that is the case, then Genesis 8 is for you. And the message of the chapter is given in the first verse, where it says, "But God remembered Noah and all the animals and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a powerful wind over the earth, and the waters receded." What powerful three words. God remembered Noah. And then, as we begin to see, things start to change. So when the passage tells us that God remembered Noah, it doesn't mean that God had forgotten him. But it simply means that in the midst of the great flood and all the chaos that was happening outside the ark, that God stayed true to his promises. He promised to deliver Noah and his family and all those animals. And during the flood, with all its death and destruction, the Lord looked down on the earth and remembered to have mercy on all those who were in the ark. In the midst of everything that is happening in our lives, in the midst of sickness, pain, heartache, and every challenge we face, verse 1 offers us reassurance that in the midst of difficult times and in the midst of waiting, God remembers us. He lovingly holds us in his hands, and we can hold on to the promise that God hasn't forgotten us, and that by his unfailing love and mercy, he sustains us and helps us to live for him each day. Which leads us on to our next point. As Christians, we can hope in God because of God's promises. We can wait in hope because of his promises. As we read through the Bible, we read of God's amazing promises and how he cares for his people. At the end of chapter 8 and in chapter 9, we see God make a promise to Noah that a flood like that would never happen again. In chapter 9, verse 11, it says, God says, "I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood that destroys the earth." And so the sign of that covenant is a rainbow. A rainbow which reminds us of God's love and his faithfulness. And so the covenant is then fulfilled through Jesus, God's Son. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The thing is, our sin separates us from God. And so to accept the invite to draw near and to know that loving relationship with him, we're called to humbly repent. We're called to admit our sinfulness and to be restored by God through a relationship with Jesus. It starts with Jesus at the cross, and it is a merciful, gracious gift from God that through God's love and mercy, we can know our relationship with God being restored. And so we receive the gracious offer of pardon and peace. And so just like God kept his promises to Noah and kept him and his family safe in the ark, we can feel secure in the knowledge and the promise of Jesus, of his saving grace and his unconditional love that never ends. And so we can stand firm because of that steadfast love and trust that he is walking beside us. And we trust in his mercy and his love. And so then finally, we can wait in hope because of who God is and his character. So this week, we've just had an election where we've elected new politicians to work in Stormont. And I think it's fair to say that during an election, we maybe find it easier to vote for a candidate that we know, who they are and what they stand for. Because we find it easier to trust someone that we know instead of someone that we don't. Well, thanks to God's word, through our Bibles, we can learn more about God and his character and his unfailing love and faithfulness. We learn all about his goodness and his mercy and his grace. When we know the nature and the character of God, we can know the rest and the peace that is found in him. Even in the midst of turmoil, uncertainty, and disruption in our lives. And so faith in God is learning that in every situation, that we can rest in God's peace, his love, and his mercy. And knowing that whatever we face, our hope is found in him. In the passage this morning, we see that the water doesn't disappear overnight. Noah and his family don't see an immediate end to life on the ark after the flood. But Noah trusts that God is watching over them on the ark. He can see that the water is receding, but there is no dry land on which to live on yet. So he waits on God and his timing. Whatever challenges we face, whether it's a difficult or scary health diagnosis, a breakdown of a relationship, the loss of a loved one, we know we can wait on God and face each new day in his strength that he gives us daily. We can hold on to his hope and his love, and we can know how great God's faithfulness is, and we can know that our hope comes from God's promises, because God doesn't change and his promises don't either. God calls us to trust in him and to wait on his timing. He calls us to acknowledge that ultimately that he is in control and respond in faith. We see in our passage that occasionally Noah would send out a bird from the ark to see if the earth was dry. But Noah didn't get out of the ark until God told him to. He actively waits for God's will. God knew that even though the water was receding, the earth was not dry enough for Noah and his family to leave the ark. The thing is, we don't always know why God calls us to wait or hold on. And actually, in the midst of those times, it can be difficult for us to be patient. But we can wait when we acknowledge the hope that we have in Jesus. And remember that even in our times of waiting, that God is still working, even if we can't always see it. We can look forward to what God holds for us in his plans when we remember God's promises hold true for us. But his timing is his timing alone. But the good thing is we can trust in his timing and his plans to give us the life that he wants for us. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 tells us, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Now, the first thing that Noah does after he gets out of the ark is worshiping God and giving thanks to him by building an altar. And so as we wait today, we can remember God's amazing character and love as we bring our worship and our praise to him. And so like Noah and his family waiting for God's command in verse 16 to come out of the ark, we are also waiting for everything to be made new, where there will be no more tears, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more hurt, and where there will be no more sin. We can look forward to a new heaven and a new earth where we will live in community with God. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 3 tells us, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" So we can hold on to the hope of God, which is based in his character and on his promises, that he will make all things new. And so this morning, I want to ask you, where does your hope lie as you face each new day? Are you waiting faithfully, trusting in God's provision for each new day, as you hold on to the hope that is found in Jesus? As a church family, may we know God's mercy and grace as we wait on God in his timing and trust that he is the faithful one, a mighty fortress, and that he is our rock of peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are a mighty fortress in whom we can find our refuge and our strength. Father, in the times of waiting that we have, may we know more of your love and your strength, helping us and encouraging us to live for you each day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.